Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy May, Fantasy Sports Today on the air here on this Monday, May 3rd, 2021. Craig Mitch, Davis Maddock, 2 hours of fantasy sports talk, wagering advice, and everything else under the sun. It's great to be with you here. It's post the 2021 NFL draft, some exciting baseball to get to. NBA season is closing toward an end. Some controversy in a couple of games yesterday as well. LeBron spouting off, as Chris just mentioned. The Mets are very happy for the first time in I don't know how long. Plenty to get to, Davis. I'm sure that you've dissected the NFL draft up and down, and I know that's a big part of what we'll do on the show today. Hope you had a good weekend.
Yeah, I had a great weekend. I thought the NFL draft was fascinating. I think that it was one of the drafts that I remember most going through and just being like, I have no idea what these teams are thinking. I have no idea what these teams are doing. Like, what is leading them to make these decisions? Now, I can't claim to be an oracle with a lot of the defensive players and the offensive linemen and things, but some of the wide receiver selections were just blowing my mind. So we'll definitely have lots to talk about there. Shohei Ohtani hit another home run. The Mets-Phillies game was super entertaining last night, by the way. My guy David Peterson racking up 8 strikeouts with 1 earned run over 5 innings. And I have to say, I was so busy with all the other sports going on, I literally was not even tuned in. I didn't even realize that the Kentucky Derby had happened. That's how busy and that's how much there was going on.
Yeah, it was a great weekend for sure. Let's recap our headlines here on this Monday, then we'll dive back into it here. Giannis outduels KD and the Bucks win 117-114. They're getting hot at the right time, no doubt. How about this unbelievable game with the Reds and Cubs yesterday? Nick Castellanos, we're going to talk about him a little bit later in the show. 13-12 final. Reds kept taking the lead. Cubs kept coming back. Chris Bryant's having a great year, but Castellanos is really putting together some season as the Reds get the win there. Seems to be playing much better at home. Corey Kluber, 10 strikeouts for the Yankees, 100 career wins. Yankees get back to 500 for the first time this season. Rhys Hoskins had what he thought was a game-tying home run overturned as the Mets beat the Phillies last night. Jonathan Villar with a pretty heads-up play. Can't believe Villar and heads-up in the same sentence, but that's where we are on this Monday. And then Medina Spirit, 12-1, wins the very exciting Kentucky Derby on Saturday, as Davis mentioned. So definitely a lot to get to here on the show. But before we do dive in pretty deep to the NFL draft, what do you make of the play-in comments from LeBron James, Davis? Because usually when he says something, everyone has an opinion. What is your opinion? You think that he's spot on with this play-in stuff?
No, of course he's not. And the only reason he cares is because he and Anthony Davis were simultaneously injured. And we've already had people go back and pull up quotes from LeBron being in favor of the play-in tournament not even that long ago, you know, being like, oh, you know, the Sacramento Kings and the Mavericks and the Suns, like, let them battle it out down there. LeBron wouldn't even care had he not got injured. I mean, this really was the first multi-week absence that LeBron has taken. He took one his first year with the Lakers when they missed the playoffs, and then there was like a week period he missed with the Heat. But you know, by and large, throughout his entire career, he has not really missed time, and he wouldn't care had he not missed time. And we saw this same thing, what, 2 weeks ago with the Mavericks, where Mark Cuban was like, oh, this was a terrible idea. It, you know, the season's too short. Like, I don't want any of this. And the only reason he cares is because the Mavericks are probably going to be in one of those play-in game spots. So it's like everyone likes the idea until their entire playoff future rests on winning one game.
Yeah, it makes sense. You do what makes you happy and you do what's best for you. And I think that's definitely the case in the NBA. We're going to touch on the rookies coming up next in the running backs and best and worst spots for a lot of the fantasy ramifications of it. Overall, just a 360-foot view, Davis. Do you think that this year's draft will provide more fantasy goodness or less than what we saw last year? Because last year was sort of an anomaly for all those great wide receivers. That's for sure. A couple good quarterbacks too. Where does it stack up in your mind now that you've seen it all?
Oh, it's so much worse. I mean, it is undebatably so much worse. You know, I don't think that Najee Harris, who is the number one fantasy running back for this year, I don't think he'll be as good as Jonathan Taylor. I don't think Travis Etienne will be as good as Clyde Edwards-Helaire or DeAndre Swift was. And then with the wide receivers, you know, can Ja'Marr Chase approximate Justin Jefferson's season? Maybe, if the Bengals throw like 700 times. But then you're talking about, well, can Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith do what CeeDee Lamb did? You know, I think not a chance. I think that we got really spoiled by last year's draft. I mean, we just saw, it'll be historic, both with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, DeAndre Swift, and Jonathan Taylor, but Jefferson, Lamb, I mean, even Ruggs, you know, there were so many, Michael Pittman, T. Higgins, there were so many good wide receivers last year. We got spoiled. Now, on the other hand, Fields, Lawrence, and Lance, I think are going to be incredible. I think they're all going to be great for fantasy right away. But this year's class, definitely worse than last year's class, in my opinion.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll take a deeper dive into this, give you the best rookie spots, the landing spots for fantasy, and the worst landing spots for fantasy. That's coming up next. Of course, all games under the lights tonight, Major League Baseball. Not a full slate, but we'll give you the DFS perspective coming up in just a little bit, so make sure you stay on the grid for that. Plenty more to get to here on the show as we're off and running here on this Monday. Fantasy Sports Today, every day, Monday through Friday, from noon to 2 Eastern. You can follow us on Twitter, at SportsGrid. Follow me on Twitter, at Craig Mish. Follow Davis on Twitter, at DavisMatic. And when you go to our YouTube page, make sure you leave a comment or two. Let us know what you like about the show, maybe what you don't like, some things that you'd like to see changed. And we'll hammer it out for you, no doubt. Also, a betting perspective on a few games going on this afternoon, including a major league debut for a rookie pitcher on the Royals. We'll be right back.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. The 2021 NFL Draft has come and gone, not without a lot of buildup and I think a lot of postscripts to this, especially from a fantasy perspective, because I think that that's really what we do here on this show. I know that I have a dynasty league where I have more first round picks coming in this dynasty league than I ever have. So I got to make some decisions here as far as what I may or may not do. And I thought that we would be a good exercise to have Davis pop on and give us a little bit of what he thinks are the best landing spots for offensive rookies in the 2021 NFL draft. So Davis, how did you see it play out? And whether it's a running back, a receiver, a tight end, give me your perspective. Who ended up in the best spot after the weekend?
So the top best spot, it's got to be Najee Harris, who landed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The depth chart of competition, now that James Conner is in Arizona, he's got to compete with Benny Snell, Anthony McFarland, and a couple other, you know, undrafted free agents, seventh round, you know, special teams type guys. I think undoubtedly the Steelers viewed selecting Najee Harris as, you know, a way to compensate for how much they threw the ball last year. I don't think they want to throw 650 times. I don't think they want to have Ben Roethlisberger dropping back that much. And instead of addressing the offensive line, they chose to select Najee Harris at 24 overall. Wouldn't have been what I would have done. But in terms of fantasy football, I definitely think we see Najee Harris have a clear role right away. I mean, pretty much from week one, I think he'll average, you know, about 18 touches per game. Doesn't really get much better than that. I think he just has to be considered number one. Then second, and I think that maybe people will be surprised by this, but I thought ETN landing with the Jaguars is pretty much the best spot he could have gone other than the Buffalo Bills. Now, Urban Meyer said something interesting about using him like a third down back and giving James Robinson and Carlos Hyde touches as well. Maybe that's how they'll start the year, and it'll be very similar to how DeAndre Swift was used for the first 8 weeks of the season with Adrian Peterson last year. But I don't expect that to last for very long. I think ETN will be fantastic when he does get used, and I think it is a slight positive just that they view ETN as a pass catcher, because that's what we want our fantasy running backs to do. And I expect the Jaguars offense to be fairly decent. You know, Trevor Lawrence with LaVisca Chenault, DJ Shark, Marvin Jones, and now the addition of ETN, I think they're going to rack up some points.
Let's talk about Javonte Williams here for a minute, because the Broncos ended up taking him. What does their running back situation look like? You have him fourth on your list here. Now, Melvin Gordon, I still think, is on the team. I guess Philip Lindsay is too, and Freeman is a throwaway player at this point. It didn't look like it's worked out for him. But why do you have Javonte Williams, and why does Denver need more running backs?
Well, they don't need more running backs, but I definitely think they signaled here that they are going to use Javonte Williams pretty early. Now, if you remember, in the past, we've seen that Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman rotation. Philip Lindsay, now a member of the Houston Texans, no longer on the Broncos roster. I think Royce Freeman is still on the roster. I'll have to go check and confirm that. But basically, if you trade up for a running back, first off, you're making a mistake with your use of your draft capital. But if you trade up for a running back, you better be doing it with the idea that he is going to touch the ball early and often. I think their idea, the Broncos' offensive idea heading into the season, is going to be pretty conservative running the ball. They will still give Melvin Gordon some touches. I would imagine that it will be a very similar thing to Adrian Peterson and DeAndre Swift. Melvin Gordon will start the year as the veteran. He'll be playing in a lot of the goal-to-go situations, because that is one thing that coaches have always done with Melvin Gordon, is use him around the goal line. But Gordon is now entering into his seventh year in the NFL. You know, we just kind of know what happens to running backs at that point in their career. They become less effective. They are used a little bit more often. So I think Williams will step in right away to, you know, a 200 plus touch role as a rookie. The pick I was most intrigued by in the entire draft, though, was Rondale Moore to the Cardinals, because I see him as a perfect system fit with Kyler Murray and in that air raid offense. Now, I've been generally underwhelmed with how Cliff Kingsbury has implemented the air raid offense in the NFL. Too many short throws, too much horizontal offense, too many targets to Larry Fitzgerald. What I hope is that we see far more of DeAndre Hopkins, Rondale Moore, Chase Edmonds, and I want to see them use a creative and vertical style of the air raid, as opposed to the more stodged, horizontal way they've used it. But I think it's the perfect marriage of scheme and talent with Rondale Moore to the Cardinals.
Yeah, interesting name there. Andy Isabella is another name I'm waiting for in one of my dynasty leagues. I'll probably still be waiting for a long time for that to work out. Okay, worst landing spots, Davis, for fantasy. I'll go through the list and then you can tell me why. Tutu Atwell goes to the Rams. Kenneth Gainwell, you know, we talked about him a ton. He's going to line up in the backfield, I guess, along Miles Sanders. Kadarius Toney went to the Giants. Tylan Wallace to the Ravens, and then Brevin Jordan. I don't think anybody ending up with Houston is in a good situation, to be honest, but Brevin Jordan goes to Houston.
So the reason why Tutu Atwell and Kadarius Toney here are included is because it's impossible to figure out what the draft capital means. Kadarius Toney as a first-round rookie wide receiver, generally speaking, we want as many first-round NFL draft wide receivers as possible on our dynasty teams, on our fantasy teams, but I view it as a very bizarre fit. The Giants do not run a creative offense, and Kadarius Toney is a player who is going to have to go to an offensive coordinator who wanted to use him creatively. You know, how Tyreek Hill gets used by the Kansas City Chiefs, how we wanted Henry Ruggs to be used, you know, how Laviska Shenault was used by the Jaguars last year. He's that style of player. You know, you're not just going to go tell Kadarius Toney, go run all the routes that Golden Tate ran last year and be productive on those. That's not going to work. And so just the fact that a first round draft pick was used on a wide receiver that I don't view is going to be very fantasy viable over the next couple years makes it a bad landing spot. Atwell, how about this, Craig? 149 pounds is how much Tutu Atwell weighs. He was drafted in the second round by the Los Angeles Rams. I have no idea what was going through their mind with this pick, but I hate it for a very similar reason. Generally speaking, second round wide receivers, I think he was picked 49 overall. Generally speaking, you know, that's like where T. Higgins and Michael Pittman and Denzel Mims went in drafts last year. And those guys are all guys we love for fantasy. And I cannot see the picture of Atwell being ready to play in the NFL at that size. Now, I know he's very fast. I know he was very productive at Louisville, but how is a 149-pound player going to rack up the number of touches needed to be impactful in the NFL? Maybe he'll be really impactful on the touches he gets, but isn't he going to get hurt? I mean, 149 pounds is very small. And for Wallace, Wallace was a guy I loved. I thought he would be a second or third round pick in the NFL draft. The Ravens ended up taking him in the fourth round, I believe. And the problem there is now he's behind Marquise Brown. He's behind Rashad Bateman, who they took in the first round, and Mark Andrews. Right. So I loved Wallace. Where are the targets going to come from? We already know the Ravens don't want to throw the ball that much, and the portions they do throw are going to be heavily allotted to Andrews, Marquise Brown, and the newly drafted Bateman. I thought Wallace would be ready to produce year one, but now I don't think he'll be able to get on the field. And then same thing for Brevin Jordan. I was excited about him. I thought he would go to a team that was ready to use a pass-catching tight end, but I mean, what the Texans? I mean, are they going to be dead last in every offensive category this year? I mean, probably. It's going to be so ugly.
If Watson doesn't play, who do you, any clue who their backup quarterback is in Houston?
They took Davis Mills in this draft. They spent their pick 86, the first pick they had in this draft. They spent it on Davis Mills. So I would guess they would probably want to get him in sooner rather than later. And I know they also signed a veteran quarterback, the name of which is escaping me right now, but it's going to be very ugly there. Tyrod Taylor, Brett says.
Yeah. Well, at least Tyrod gets a shot. I was sad last year when he didn't get his chance because the doctor messed something up. All right.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We got to do some DFS coming up next. A full slate of baseball to get to. So make sure you stay with us and stay on the grid. Coming up, more fantasy sports today. Also, some good matchups in baseball today. We'll look against the spread. Rookie pitcher starting for Kansas City. Walker Buehler on the mound for the Dodgers. It's an easy win for him. We'll tell you coming up. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Nish along with David Maddock. We dive back into our baseball discussion here on the show. Those of you getting ready to play some DFS on FanDuel tonight, we're here to help you each and every day, usually around this time, 12:25 Eastern, 10:25 Pacific, getting you ready for the evening slate. No day baseball games, so everything is tonight. You got plenty of time to make some decisions, and we have some decisions to make here on the show. So let's take a look at the pitchers and possibilities today. It's going to be tough. This is not an easy pitching slate, I don't think. Walker Buehler is easy at 10,200. Aaron Civale will face off with a rookie at 9,500. Otani could start tonight for the Angels. He is slated to start, but we don't know because he was hit by a pitch yesterday. Ended up stealing bases, I think, after that. But a question for tonight. Tyler Anderson, yikes, 8,600. Marquez, yikes, 8,200. And then you see Jacob Junis's name there. He's not even starting tonight, Davis. They're going to put Lynch in to start for him, the rookie who we're going to break down coming up just in a little bit. So unpredictable tonight is the way that I would describe it, Davis. Someone is going to make a lot of money playing DFS tonight by picking the right pitcher. And it may not be anyone we just discussed. So who is it tonight?
Well, I mean, Walker Buehler is far and away the best starting pitcher tonight. The Dodgers used up a bunch of their bullpen over the course of the weekend. They won 16-4 against the Brewers, and then they had a full bullpen game on Friday, I believe. So I think maybe we get an extra inning or two out of Walker Buehler compared to his baselines. He is our top option today. But as we know, we don't always want to use the top option because Walker Buehler is going to be mega, mega chalky in this slate tonight. I do think Kenta Maeda is a name that people are going to be scared to use. He's been really bad and really average in his starts this year. We've yet to see like a vintage, solid Kenta Maeda start. If you were going to line up a team for Kenta Maeda to have a vintage start against, I think you would probably say, well, let's give him the Texas Rangers at home. The Rangers can't hit anybody. They, you know, some of their guys like Willie Calhoun and Adelis Garcia, who got off to tough starts, have cooled off a little bit. If Otani is able to take the mound against the Rays tonight, he's priced at $8,900 against the Rays. I do think he looks pretty solid. I think Herman Marquez at $8,200 against the Giants, when he makes road starts against offenses that are not full of guys who can hit home runs, because that's what Marquez struggles with when his off-speed stuff stays up in the zone, I don't think the Giants are the team that is set to punish him. So I like him as well. And then you could probably throw a couple darts at Glasnow. The problem is, I mean, just a terrible matchup. The Angels are crushing everybody. The top of that Angels order, it's just, I mean, I don't know how you pitch against them right now.
Yeah, Walsh hit two home runs yesterday. I think that's the game of the day probably in baseball. We'd love to do it for you, but without knowing if Otani's going to pitch or not, we're skipping over that one in terms of our betting segment. Okay, first base and catchers. We actually have to use some catchers today because, again, teams are off, different slate. Vlad Jr. is 4,400, Santana 4,300. Hoskins, will he be fired up today after yesterday? He should be, 4,000. Buster Posey has had a really nice start to the season, 3,900. Goldschmidt, 3,800. Salvador Perez, 3,800. It's interesting the Giants are saying, Davis, that Posey looks like a guy that's new and refreshed, and he should be. He didn't play all last year from a catcher's position. I would guess sitting out a year is a pretty good recipe for bouncing back. Probably a sell high for me in season-long leagues because you know that's going to end, but he is having a good start to his season, 3,900 tonight.
Yeah, hey, Posey has been crushing for my NFBC main event team, so I feel very happy about the results that he has generated thus far. So the first base position, I mean, we got to start in Colorado. We have Brandon Belt, locked in there. What's interesting is Keston Hiura is showing up in our value stuff, but there's not a chance that I am going to be recommending Hiura to the people. He has been so bad. First base does look gross today. I mean, looking at some names here, we have Hoskins against Hauser, CJ Krohn. We have Dom Smith priced against Wainwright. You know, we got Goldschmidt against Lucchese, but like, I'm just not seeing anything that really leaps out to me here. I think probably Max Muncy priced at $3,200 against Kyle Hendricks. Hendricks has completely fallen apart from his, you know, nibble the corner stuff that has served him so well over the last few years. I have a sneaking suspicion that the Dodgers are going to be able to make life absolutely miserable. So I'm going to go with Max Muncy as my favorite first baseman for this slate tonight.
It's interesting with Hiura. Basically, you can count the players in baseball who've been worse than him this season, maybe on one hand, and there was no minor league season, right? So, like, anything they would have done with him would have been putting him at an alternate site. Minor league baseball begins this week. The Brewers are playing amazing. I got to wonder, when Yelich comes back and Lorenzo Cain comes back, which are both supposed to, would they dare send Hiura down? Look, at this point, you got to at least open your eyes up to that. And the question for me would be, who played first base for the Brewers? So interesting stuff there. We'll see what and maybe Shaw. I don't know. We'll see what plays out. All right. Second base. You thought first base was ugly. How about this? Whit Merrifield, 4,000, down to Ryan McMahon immediately at 3,600, Tommy Edman, 3,500, Hampson, 3,300, Chris Taylor and Max Muncy at 3,200. Second base is just, it is tough. It's tough to find anyone. Who do you got today?
Yeah. So LaStella, $2,800 on FanDuel. I mean, everyone and their mother is rostering Tommy LaStella tonight in Coors. I mean, Tommy LaStella is out. There we go. So I got that. I got that one wrong. So then I guess that means everyone and their mom is paying up for Ryan McMahon at 3,600, because these are your other options that we have as values on Daily Roto. The aforementioned Keston Hiura, you know, Kevon Biggio, but in a tough matchup and not playing in Dunedin. Brandon Lau probably going to have to play against Otani tonight. I mean, this is, we talk about second base being brutal, you know, for seasonal fantasy baseball. And when we go through these previews, we're like, geesh, we got to find someone we like here. My guess is Ryan McMahon ends up owned north of 30% in FanDuel contest tonight. I'm definitely not going to recommend you guys, you know, if you're building one single bullet, you don't want to take the 30% owned guy. So I will say some of your options, Luis Arraez against Dane Dunning. I think that the aforementioned Max Muncy, I think Jeff McNeil, he has such a good hit tool for the Mets. I wish they would not bat him sixth. It's very frustrating to see him down there at sixth. I know Brett agrees with me. They want to get more McNeil at bats. I'd love if he would bat second, but I do like him. And then Cesar Hernandez, switch batter against Lynch for the Royals, and then whoever they bring in as the long man behind him, you know, just a cheap roster filler type guy, I think you can get away with today.
Yeah, LaStella late yesterday, sprained knee or hamstring, something like that. I think he's going on the injured list for sure, but today he will not play. All right, third base, Vlad Jr. at 4,000. Jose Ramirez, 4,100, seems to be getting hot. Chris Bryant has been great. We actually have some good options here. Arenado at 4,000 and Rendon at 3,800, Turner, 3,700. But those three at the top there, the 4,000 price third baseman, have at least had a good couple of weeks. I feel comfortable with those.
Yeah, we got Vlad, we got Machado, we got McMahon, we have Jose Ramirez against Lynch, we have Matt Chapman against Mats. Probably should zoom in on Matt Chapman against Mats, because Mats is being viewed by the market right now as an average or above average starting pitcher, but I've seen this play out with Steven Mats many times before. When his fastball is not cutting, when he doesn't have the spin rate on it, you're talking about a left-handed starting pitcher coming in with like a 93-mile-an-hour fastball that's basically like putting it up on a tee for right-handed batters. So I do really like Chapman here. I like Donaldson against Dane Dunning. I think the Twins look interesting tonight as an alternative to the Giants and Rockies bats. And then Justin Turner, I mean, against Kyle Hendricks, I think the Dodgers are just going to make life so tough for Kyle Hendricks and the Cubs bullpen tonight. I think we could see another, you know, 10 run game coming from the Dodgers.
All right, back to shortstop we go, and Fernando Tatis Jr. leads everyone at 4,400 going up against Anderson of the Pirates. He's actually, Anderson's been pretty good, surprisingly, for Pittsburgh, but I would think that Tatis could feast here. Bo Bichette, 4,100. Story, if he plays, I know he's another one who left the game injured yesterday. Javi Baez, 3,700. Seager, 3,600. And Paul DeJong, 3,300 tonight.
Yeah, Tatis, Story, Lindor, Semien if he gets a good batting order spot, and then Corey Seager. Seager, I think, is my, just continuing this Dodgers theme. I mean, I'm looking at our projections right now, and I really don't think we'll see heavy ownership on the Dodgers, which is generally a sign to get them in your lineup, because there's nothing better than a 5% owned Dodgers stack.
And then finally, outfield, Harper with an issue yesterday. So the top would be Trout, Buxton. If Harper goes, him, Mookie Betts at 4,000, Cruz 4,400, Whit Merrifield 4,000 as we close out our DFS preview. Any thoughts on outfield?
Yeah, well, Mike Trout, I mean, every time we get a Coors slate or we get one of these slates where everyone jams on another offense, we love Trout. We love Buxton. I think, Alex Dickerson, Charlie Blackman, Raimel Tapia, yeah, Jonathan Daza, those guys in that Coors game, I think those guys are good roster fillers, but just keep in mind they'll be very popular.
Yeah, no doubt. When they're back at Coors, that's the deal. Hopefully CJ Cron plays over Matt Adams, although at this point you can't guarantee that, unfortunately. It may have been my worst pick in the fantasy season. Okay, coming up next, the Cubs have been hitting the you-know-what out of the ball, but they got a tough matchup today against the Los Angeles Dodgers, and we'll have a preview of that game coming up. And plus, who is Daniel Lynch and why is he appearing on the board today? Well, he is one of the top prospects in the Royals organization. They've pulled the plug on Jacob Junis, and Lynch will start today. We'll tell you a little bit more about him coming up. And then preview the game between Toronto and Oakland, both teams with big offense. Will that prevail? We'll tell you next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time for a preview of today's baseball games over on the DFS site on FanDuel. I know that, Davis, tonight we got some really good NBA games as well. We're going to preview those, but at least we could get back to that tonight. And I think that that's probably what a lot of people will be doing, betting on baseball tonight, a little DFS action as well. And I know that, Davis, your main matchup that you are interested in, of course, is the Los Angeles Angels and Shohei Ohtani, but I think we probably should just stay away from that game at this point, because in 2 hours from now, it could be a pointless conversation if he doesn't start. So I guess other games better to do. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about the way that it's priced if Ohtani is in there, because I'm interested to see what FanDuel has it priced at. But of course, because we're doing this 7 hours before the game starts, we're not going to know exactly who is taking the mound. I mean, I'm always interested in getting money down on an Ohtani start, though. You know that.
Yeah. All right. Well, tonight's marquee matchup, at least from a television perspective, will be Dodgers and Cubs. They'll play that game at Wrigley Field tonight. The defending champs will only visit Chicago once, so it'll be a nice crowd for sure. 7:40 Eastern time. And the Dodgers are huge favorites. They're -190. You could get $160 on your $100 bet if you take the Cubs. The reason why, Walker Buehler is starting for LA tonight. LA yesterday had a couple of different grand slams. Pollock and Beattie both went deep. Dodgers have had some injury creep up a little bit. Dustin May went on the injured list. They're hoping Tony Gonsolin's able to come back and make his next start, maybe next week. And the Cubs have Kyle Hendricks today, which if the sinker is not working, it's big trouble for him. Cubs are scoring runs, though, Davis. Maybe this is a spot where they're able to put up a crooked number somehow on LA. I think the other thing that's worth noting is that you kind of have to throw out the games in Cincinnati to a degree. It's one of those National League parks that just so many runs are always being scored. But the Cubs are back at home tonight against the Dodgers. Would you take a stab at a plus 160 with the Cubs, or is it just lay a run and a half or just stay away?
I mean, I think that you can probably bet the Dodgers money line and the run line. This is not a spot that I would be comfortable taking the Cubs. I feel like the Dodgers are just so great, and Hendricks is the exact style of pitcher I expect them to do so well against. You know, soft tossing guy, throws a lot of off-speed stuff. The fastball is at like 88. He's got to get it pin perfect on the corners. He's not been able to do that at all this year. And this Dodgers lineup, I mean, it is just so full of guys who are phenomenal hitters. If you look at them 1 through 9, I mean, even their getaway day lineup on Sunday, right? So this is their relaxed lineup. I mean, AJ Pollock hitting 7th, Gavin Lux, one of the top prospects in baseball, hitting 8th. Like, I never want to bet against the Dodgers. And if I do, I want to do it when they're going up against, like, you know, Darvish or one of these guys who I think can get through 7 innings, you know, only giving up 2 or 3 runs against them. I don't think Kyle Hendricks is that guy. I think he gets crushed today.
By the way, in terms of Chris Bryant, I know that we haven't talked about him in terms of fantasy all that much. Do you think he makes it through the season with the Cubs? I mean, he's playing his way out of there at this point, I think. I think there's a chance of that. He's a free agent after the year. Cubs could get a first-round draft pick if they keep him, but they may opt to get something better for him and make the deal. He was virtually untradeable over the last 2 years based on how he's played, but maybe this is the key, Davis.
Well, I certainly think there's definitely some motivation from Chris Bryant's side. Like, look, let me get out of here. Let me go win some pennants. Let me play for a great team. And, you know, Chris Bryant is not that far removed from being, like, a face of baseball. Like, he was being aggressively marketed by the Cubs and by Major League Baseball. He's a really solid defender. There are lots of teams who could use his services, I think. And the Cubs would be more than happy to get rid of his contract and make some money off of trading him. I don't think he ends the season with the Cubs. I think there are lots of teams actually that need help on the corners. It's interesting. We were talking about here earlier, you know, who needs a corner guy is the Brewers, right? You know, between Hira and Vogelbach and Shaw, they need someone who can play defense and who can hit on the corners. Now, it's very unlikely, I think, that they do the interdivision trade there, but that would be a spot that makes loads of sense for him.
Yeah, I mean, you almost never see that. I mean, maybe, you know what, though? But, Davis, it's 1 year and 3 months. Maybe that's the way the Cubs would look at it and say it's not forever. It's just for the next 3 months. So I don't think that's completely unreasonable. If Bryant was on a long-term contract, then there's no way. They're not going to face that guy every time, 18 times a year. It's not going to happen. All right, Royals made a change yesterday. Jacob Junis was their scheduled starter. They're going to Daniel Lynch, who was their second-best pitching prospect today. You're going to be able to get plus money on Kansas City, I am sure. Now, Savali's been a little bit up and down, good for the most part. Kansas City is about plus 102, 105 over on FanDuel. I think you can get a little bit more on that by the time the game starts. And Cleveland's going to be a slight favorite. So they're telling you it's pick 'em. And the reason why, Davis, is because no one really knows who Lynch is going to be. And I think that's a good way to approach it. Whenever a rookie pitcher starts, it is really hard to endorse or even go against without knowing. Shane McClanahan is a good example of that last week. No one knew, had a clue what he was going to look like. Now he looks like he could be potentially a dominant pitcher. And on the flip side, you got a guy like Jesus Luzardo breaking his finger playing a video game. So, you know, you just don't know who the guys are going to be.
Yeah, and we really don't know with Daniel Lynch. Daniel Lynch has pitched high A ball. 78 innings of high A ball is the highest he has gotten in the Major League organization back in 2019, obviously at the alternate site and stuff last year. He is 24 years old, a former first pick, 34th overall, you know, the way they do the compensation picks for Major League Baseball. I'm inclined to be on the Royals here. I mean, look, best team in baseball, literally best record in baseball. They play great defense. I guess the interesting thing is they have been good on offense, but not in the way we imagined. We thought Benintendi would be good. We thought that Soler would be hitting home runs left, right, and center. Really, it's been Witt has been unbelievable. Carlos Santana has been better than expected, and the entire team as a whole just really is not striking out outside of Soler, and they've gotten, you know, some good production from guys like Michael A. Taylor and Jared Dyson and stuff. This is probably a coin flip game. So in a coin flip game, I'll just take the underdog. Underdogs have been. I saw a great tweet the other day. Underdogs are like plus like 105 units or something this year in Major League Baseball. If you just bet underdogs in every single game, you'd be up. You know, you'd be paying the mortgage with underdog MLB bets.
Makes sense for sure. I guess the question is, do you do that tonight? As Toronto is now away from Florida and traveling cross-country against the Oakland Athletics. Frankie Montas starts for Oakland, who's almost never trustable in consecutive starts. And speaking of which, Steven Matz, who's had a nice season for the Toronto Blue Jays, he's still plus money. There's still not a lot of trust there with that. George Springer left the game early yesterday saying that he was winded and he is not hurt. Boy, I would like to know that he's in this lineup tonight before I bet the Blue Jays. That's my my opinion on this one.
Yeah, and you know the Blue Jays are dealing with injuries on a couple different fronts right now. They are dealing with the George Springer injury, obviously, but then also Alejandro Kirk got banged up after he had a two home run game on the 30th. But now they've been having to move Danny Jansen back to full-time catching. Now, they have also gotten Teoscar Hernandez back, which makes their – I mean, look, if you can back Kevon Biggio eighth, that's a pretty good offensive system to be setting up in, even if Danny Jansen hits like a pitcher as a catcher out of the nine-hole slot. I do think the Blue Jays are just terrifying offensively. And I would side for them as the underdog here, but I'm just acknowledging I don't want to place this bet on Matz at all. I'm terrified of ever betting on Steven Matz, and I think the A's could rack up, you know, five runs on him in a hurry. But Montas is like a B-minus level starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. He's fine. Not a guy I get super excited about, and not a guy I think is just going to shut down this fearsome Toronto Blue Jays lineup. So I'm going to take the Blue Jays here as the underdog.
All right, so Blue Jays plus money. You know, one change from this year that we did not have last year, so we're going on 2 years, Davis, essentially, is this week. I'm sure that you've seen the tweets, people talking about it, but minor league baseball begins this week for everyone. And I'm wondering, do you pay any attention whatsoever to that to help you at all in DFS? Like, as an example, when a pitcher gets called up or a player comes up from the minors, I think we're all going to have to get back into that routine again of sort of scouring the minor leagues, who is getting ready, who is at AAA. We only had a 60-game season last year, and people said it was really hard to navigate that. Well, it's a lot harder when you have no idea who these players are coming up because we haven't heard of them. So just kind of curious, any preparation for that at all? I'm not asking if you watch minor league baseball games. I'm just kind of curious if you pay any attention to it during the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is lots of stuff to be gleaned from what's going on in AAA. You know, to start with, teams can give us an idea of when players are going to be coming up, if they're going to be playing a different position. You know, this is something that I expect, you know, teams like the Rays to do this year. I think they, you know, they will try guys out in a new position in the minors. Obviously, they will add that positional eligibility when they get called up. That's pretty nice. We get ideas of pitcher inning durations when they're down there in the minor leagues, you know, whether it be for a rehab start or whether it be a prospect who's coming up. So, for example, how long is Daniel Lynch going to go tonight against Cleveland? Well, we don't really know because all we have for him is alternate site. But if I was able to log on to FanGraphs and go check, you know, what was Daniel Lynch been doing at AAA? Oh, he went 60 pitches, 70 pitches, 80 right. pitches. That'll give you a good idea of how to project them. And then also you can get an idea for, you know, seasonal fantasy baseball. When are hitters going to be coming up? So, for example, I have no idea when Joe Adell is going to be coming up. Total radio silence from the Los Angeles Angels on, has Adell been good at the alternate training site? Has he been bad at the alternate training site? Is he playing left field or first base or right field? You know, what are they doing with Joe Adell? I have no information. I have no way to know. But now the AAA season is starting, I'll be able to say, oh, Adell can't hit a lick. I got to get rid of these Bowman Chrome rookie cards. Or Joe Adell is batting 500 with six home runs through 2 weeks at AAA whatever for the Angels. They probably are going to be calling him up and replacing Scott Schebler and Justin Upton at bats with Joe Adell sooner rather than later. I think it's super helpful, all of that information.
Yeah, Wander Franco is really the big name that's going to start finally some action in the minor leagues. And let's also not kid ourselves here. The Seattle Mariners were very lucky there was no minor league season, because what if Jared Kelenic was crushing it in April and we were seeing those stats? People would be yelling and screaming, why is this guy not in the big leagues? Well, they're not going to be able to hide that anymore, because the games begin, I believe, on Thursday. So the spring training is over, essentially, for them. And then the minor league season begins, and at all levels, by the way, AAA, AA, single A, high A, low A, looking forward to catching some of that, I think, for sure. I think that it's a great thing to have that back, more than anything, to allow these kids to play competitive baseball against someone. I know the alternate site had some exhibitions in Florida and Arizona against different teams, but this is real competition. And also a better way to avoid injury, to have them playing at a level against someone else that is real competition, instead of just not really caring all that much. All right, coming up next, will LeBron play for the Lakers tonight? That's definitely going to be a factor into who Davis likes as Denver goes on the road to play against Los Angeles with a total of 218. So a preview of Nuggets Lakers coming up next right here on Sports Grid. Stay with us on the grid as we wrap up this first hour of Fantasy Sports Today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
About a month ago, Davis was here on the show saying the Lakers may have to scrap their way into the NBA playoffs. And boy, that definitely looks like it could be the case. Couple of weeks to go, and it is not looking all that promising. They have issues, players out yet again tonight. We'll see if LeBron ends up playing. And I know that this is always going to be the dynamic this time of the year. But as we look at the spread, the Nuggets are road favorites tonight. And this ain't a point or two. They are 4-point favorites on the road at Los Angeles. The total is 218. All kinds of issues for the Lakers. I feel like if LA just plays 500 ball, they'll sneak themselves in. But that's not even a guarantee, Davis, at this point. And we know that Denver is a better team. So what do you think tonight?
Yeah, I like the Nuggets here, even with Anthony Davis and LeBron James back, even with all of these injuries to the Denver Nuggets, you know, losing Jamal Murray. They don't have Will Barton right now. I still feel like Jokic is just, he is unbelievable. And, you know, the fact that the Lakers are stubbornly going to play Andre Drummond, I mean, Drummond has no chance defensively. They definitely need to play Anthony Davis as the primary defender on Jokic tonight. I don't know how often they'll do that. Now, this is a super important game for tie-breaking purposes, for seeding purposes. So the Lakers should go all out here. And it, you know, it kind of remains to be seen if they choose to do that. I believe both LeBron and Anthony Davis should be able to suit up and go for this game. But I'm going to take the Nuggets. I'm also going to take the over here. This total looks a shade low to me. So I'm going to go Nuggets and the over here.
Yeah, Knicks also on the court tonight. And Knicks are playing really good basketball. I think this is, what, the best Knicks record in the regular season since when? I don't even know. 20 years maybe? Feels like forever. But good games tonight in the NBA. We'll recap them here tomorrow on Fantasy Sports Today. All right, so our first hour is officially in the books here on this Monday. We got Chris coming up with the headlines here at the top of the hour at 1 o'clock Eastern. Our lunch hour begins, maybe for you if you're leaving us. Hope you will catch us tomorrow again. But we have another hour to go here on the show. Headlines from Chris, our headlines for Fantasy Sports Today, waiver wire in fantasy, and a long shot to win on FanDuel. The National League MVP, maybe somebody to start taking a look at. We'll be back for hour two in just a few minutes. Don't go away.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.